Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in St. Edward, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjureman Ali of ConjuremanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Santa Rosa, California, bringing us today's topic on seasonal spells of renewal. Afterwards, they'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection, choosing traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work, as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Conjureman Ali. Miss Cat?
Hi, thank you, Papa Newt.
You're welcome.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. We're just getting ready for the holidays, and I'm getting ready to also just go into some state of reflection. As not too many people know, my father passed away this year, and the holidays have been an interesting time. And so it's been a beautiful time. Our family is all gathering, and we're just going to just spend time with one another and reflect on the experiences we've shared throughout this lifetime.
Ah, well, I'm so sorry about your loss. I know it was a very hard thing. And it's interesting to me how for many people, suffering a loss makes the holidays sad, even though the holidays may not have been when the loss happened, but it's that loss of what was once a family bond, and it's sometimes very acute and painful at that time. But it's also the time when all the little new nieces and nephews and grandchildren come trooping in, and you get to see the new directions that the family is taking. And that's a beautiful part about the holidays as well. I wish you all the best with that. Well, up here, Lucky Mojo, it's raining. And we're having what may be, fingers crossed, a return to our normal winter weather. We don't like storms here. We like the kind of rain where it just drips for 3 days and fills the reservoirs. And we seem to be in the middle of one of those, and it may be the third or fourth one we've had so far, so we're kind of happy. The plants are beginning to green up. Everything's looking a little better. We had some freakish frost. We had some freakish high winds, but I think we're maybe settling back into a nice California winter. I hope. Down in the shop, everyone's working, and I want to give thanks to everybody down there. I also want to send out a little special greeting to someone. I'm not going to call her name because I think it would be maybe embarrassing to her, but I'm just going to call out one of my many Russian clients. I may not look like a person with many female Russian clients between the ages of 40 and 50, but I am. And this one will know who she is if she listens to this show. She's the one who does photography as well as other things. And I want to thank my beautiful client for her beautiful gift she gave me. It's a lovely sweater, and I'm wearing it, and it's just fabulous. So, Little Miss Mystery Miss, thank you. And Now, how are you doing, Countryman Ali, my good co-host?
I am doing lovely. I was just kind of chuckling to myself because when we get together, we do remark on the sort of patterns of clients that we get. And in addition to the type of work that we discuss, right, like we talk about, oh, I've had a spat of love clients, or I have a spat of this. We also discuss the kind of demographics of clients without going into particulars. You know, we're very good about confidentiality, but, you know, we discuss how, for example, you know, certain workers get a clients from Thailand, and they have like a whole demographic of Thai clients looking for a very specific work, or South Asian clients from Pakistan and India. Or Eastern European. And so I was just chuckling because we often surprise each other by the demographics that we attract. On my end, I'm doing quite well. I'm actually away from business and home right now on a mini research travel, as I'm wont to do in during the breaks and the holidays. They say there is no rest for the wicked. And I joke that that must mean I'm the wickedest of them all, because I don't seem to ever rest. So I am going to be returning home tomorrow and back to what I love doing, which is root work and reading for clients. But until then, I'm buried deep in my archival work and enjoying the kind of cold hotel room experience, which is probably my least favorite part of traveling, and I'm looking forward to returning to some somewhat seasonal or winter weather down in Southern California. From what I hear, we finally got some rain, so yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Wow. Well, I think you are probably the most widely traveled of the various people who ever have been on this show. Every time we hear from you, you're always somewhere else.
That is very true.
Yeah.
But I make it on the radio.
You do.
Thank God for phones.
Yeah, you're technologically adept, and here you are. May I ask, and I don't think if you mentioned it, I didn't catch it, where exactly are you?
I'm in Stanford, actually. I was at the
Hoover
Stanford Institute.
Oh, my gosh. You're exactly in. So you're being rained on right now.
Yes, I am being rained on right now. And I was enjoying their very new and updated Hoover Institute archives, which is kind of nice. It's a whole conversation. I don't want to take up too much of it, but archives are fascinating. They have their own kind of experience, and some archives are really old, and you can go in, and they're musty, and you can tell that they've been established for a while. Other archives are really technologically advanced. They're cold. They look almost like surgical rooms. So going to different archives is always a fascinating experience for me. And the Hoover Institute has just updated a bunch of their stuff, so really, really exciting weekend that I've had.
You know what's interesting to me is in the attempt to digitize everything, many of these places have to consider what are they going to do with the objects they have archived.
And, so true,
and,
yeah.
And whether they're going to divest themselves, digitize those objects, divest themselves, use the money for more software and hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting concept. And the old concept, even of a museum, is changing, but the old concept of a library is really moving very, very fast. I know that I've been doing some genealogical research on my crazy family, this being my mother's side of the family, and I just went online and I just found, you know, when my great 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 grandfather, you know, sent a letter to King of Bavaria in 1830, and it's online, right? I mean, it's online.
It's so fascinating, yeah. Digitization of archives is very, very fascinating. And a lot of them are moving in that way, and so they have to ask this question of what they do with the actual physical item of it. I'm one of the ones that's a bit worried about what happens with digitization. It's great because you have access anywhere, but then the physical object kind of gets lost. I can tell that this is going to be one of our famous tourist conversations. We're going to spend hours, you and I.
You know, I have one more thing. Yeah, I have one more thing to say. See, the forces of technological librarianship made a big mistake when they threw out the actual paper-bound newspapers because they thought that microfiche and microfilm would be sufficient to archive them. And as we all know, they were not. The digitization may also be something that in the end will not be sufficient when new technologies come in. And I think that any library that maintains a conservative approach, and I mean in terms of, you know, conservative, you know, both time-wise and conservation-wise, is doing a good thing because all of those microfilms are dead in the water now. And there are newspapers that are actually lost because that they only exist in microfilm, and you cannot read them. The technology was not robust enough to support that massive throwout of the actual objects. So, here we go.
Sorry, that was just a little
Countryman Ollie and Cat Ironwood talk about stuff conversation.
It's a very Taurus conversation. We're definitely going to have a part two about this, too.
Yeah. And in the chat room, Shiva says, sort of like music on vinyl versus disc and wax cylinder. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, let's bring in our dear friend, Miss Elvira. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I wound up spending last night bringing the energies of the winter solstice in. I led a circle, and so I was, you know, really raring to go for the concept of our topic today. So that's number one. And number two, it's just great that we've got rain. I just will have to go traveling in it later after I get off of the radio show for yet again another gathering that I will be going to as well. So it's like, well, if I had a sleigh and I had somebody who drove it, that'd be really great, but me and my car are going to be it.
Well, what kind of a gathering are you going to?
Actually, a group of women have asked that I come to their location in Petaluma and do readings for them. I had met one of them, and she was so impressed. She says, I have a group of women, and we meet once a month, and I really want you to come. And so it's actually a paid gig, but it still is working the magic at this time.
Wow. Well, you know, just a little side note on this. There are not all that many readers who will read for groups or do what in our trade or industry is called party reading, although that doesn't always mean that there's a party, but it sometimes means a party of people, party reading. And you have the style, the clothing, the look to be a party reader, and there aren't that many who do, and more power to you. So, folks, if you're all in Northern California and need a party reader, call Miss Elvira.
The lady is
ready, willing, and able, and I can testify she comes with theatrical experience as well as highly gifted psychic reader who can, and this is the key to being a party reader, who can tone and shade the reading to the event, by which I mean, people come to a so-called party event, a solstice event, as in this, probably this kind of thing, a pagan get-together, a wedding, pre-wedding bachelorette party, and want readings. And you need to shade the way you read for what they're up to. You know, if you're going to read for the Rotary Club, you're going to be reading very different stuff than if you're reading for a bunch of 17-year-old girls. So Elvira knows what she's doing. And,
which I do actually do. I do a grad night once a year in June here, actually in Petaluma, with the same, you know, with one of my other coworkers and readers, Miss Phoenix, and we do. I mean, you have. Mm-hmm. That's one thing they requested, is that we be very, you know, certainly not doom and gloom, but you do. You have to shade it, and especially when they're teenagers and young people, it's different than when you're reading for older people or different kinds of groups.
Yeah, and then there's the classic one where you get the bad cards and you tell the person, come see me later privately. because you don't want to, you know, throw a monkey wrench into the get-together. Mm-hmm. And but everybody, you know, I will recommend a book on this, by the way. It's Valentina Burton's Fortune Teller's Guide to Success. If you all don't know about that book will help you understand what it is that Miss Elvira does. And in the chat room, Countryman Ali said, I, for example, will travel for root work cleansing exorcisms, mm-hmm. but don't do group readings. It's always nice to have people like Miss Elvira to refer clients to. And I have to say that, too. And Miss Elvira reads in person at Missionary Independent mm-hmm. Spiritual Church. And she also does what, and again, in our trade are called pickups, walk-ins, or drive-bys.
Sounds interesting.
Well, those are the phrases I was taught to call them. You know, a walk-in is pretty obvious. Walk-in client, drive-bys are people who see the sign and they stop and never come back because they're just drive-bys. And then pickup readings is a term that I learned out of the old occult shops. That's a reader where there is a reader and there's another reader. And the other reader will pick up when the one reader is working, or they'll pick up for each other. Those are called pickup readings. And you do my pickup readings, and I have done your pickup readings. So, so both of us here at Missionary Independent will do pickups, walk-ins, and drive-bys. All right. Well, but I don't do parties. I do not do parties. I'm like Ollie. I'm a little stay-at-home person. All right. So let's get to our topic. As always, we have a subject that we are going to discuss. And as always, our guest brings the subject to us. One of these days, I'm going to break that trend and I'm going to propose a subject and maybe be my own guest here. I don't know. But that's a sidelight, too. Our topic is on renewal for the year. Seasonal spells of renewal, spells of gratitude and acceptance of what has happened through the year, spells of hope and cleansing and renewal for the new year to come. Now, not everybody celebrates their new year at this time. You know, the Jews have their Jewish New Year, and mm-hmm. that's in the fall, and the Chinese have their Chinese New Year or Asian New Year, and that's going to be in a couple of months from now. It's a Lunar New Year. And but we're just going by the Gregorian New Year right now. This is the New Year that is most popular among the Northern European people because they have a lot of darkness at this time of winter, and they want to do something to mark the beginning of the coming of the light again. And so they have given us ceremonies and festivals such as Yule, mm-hmm. which somehow they incorporated Jesus Christ's birth into that. We're not really sure how, when, why they did that, but they did. And so now it becomes the Christian Christmas. But the Yule existed long before that. And the New Year also carries with it some other things that have gotten very popular in Hoodoo. And one of the things that has always struck me is the Scottish customs of first footing and luck for mm-hmm. the New Year. Had entered into Hoodoo before we have written record of Hoodoo. We don't know how it got in there. We can assume that it got in by meeting English and Scottish people, African Americans being in contact with English and Scottish people. But some of the customs that we think of as Hoodoo customs actually have their origin in Scotland. One of them is first footing, the idea that the first person through the door at New Year is sets the tone or sets the luck for the year. And over on Facebook, Nagashiva put up what looked like a bunch of British stamps of customs of the new year, and these are fantastic. Or maybe they are British superstitions. It's hard to tell what these stamps are, but they're just fabulous. And one of them shows a foot track. There's a coin, there's bread, there's salt, looks like coal, and a glass of whiskey. So this all seems to be around first footing, as far as I can tell. And because the person who comes in the old days, that person would actually bring a lump of live coal. You'd let your own fires go out, and the first footer would bring around a pan of coals and start you a new fire, and you'd reward them with a glass of whiskey. Some people will have bread with salt on it for the new year, and some people will you know, give out a lucky coin. There's a lot of these things. Now, there's also another first footing custom which is found around different cultures, have different versions of it involving beans, the eating of beans, whatever they may be, kidney beans, white beans,
yeah.
navy beans, black-eyed peas. Some people call it Hop and John. Some people call it red beans and rice. And some people will have it with cornbread, some people with rice, some people will have it with collard greens or cabbage greens. And there are usual annotations that go with that custom, which involve things like hoping for folding money with the greens mm-hmm. and gold with the golden cornbread and or corn fritters, and the beans are for luck. And so these stamps that Nagashiva put up are just adorable. So we really like them. So these are the kinds of things that we think of as spells, but many people think of them as superstitions. And these are not the only ones that we would find in the world. These are just the ones that come in our corner of the world. And so let me turn this over to Elvira. And Elvira, you come out of a Celtic/Mediterranean tradition of paganism, which I would call the old Celts. In other words, the Celts before they made it up to Ireland. The Celts that came out of Greece, went around Italy and France, and then kind of leaped across. And so you have a Celtic Mediterranean background. What kind of New Year spells do you work with?
Well, I've always liked using seeds. You know, seeds are a visceral thing. We were agricultural. That was, you know, this was a time where people in the old days worked around the sun and was more about the actual season. So the earth was the womb, the sun was the penetrating light, so became, you know, the way of fertilization. And so different spells around candles and seeds. There's one that I really like. It's a little bit hard to describe in one way, but it can be done as a visualization, sometimes better than an actuality, as you get a holly wreath with the berries on it, and you get a mistletoe with its berries, and you hang it above. And then at the moment of the midnight hour on winter solstice, the berries of the mistletoe go down into the center of the wreath, which is actually over a bowl of water or pool, and they fertilize it. So it's the male energy fertilizing the female, and that is one that can be done in a visualization. But it can also be done if you are aware that mistletoe berries are poisonous, so you know, you really do want to make sure you keep them away from small children, dogs, and maybe people that aren't aware of the fact that they should not be eating those. But
mm-hmm.
That's kind of one of the ways of spell work. The others are, you know, the use of different kinds of fortune, because, of course, the goddess Fortuna was an Etruscan goddess, a deity of fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Wheel of Fortune in the Tarot, and, you know, kind of symbology of it. And she is, you know, again, the cornucopia, but she is the one that now a lot of people pray for good luck, but she is also the goddess of good fortune, and that can be in any different form. And you always have gratitude, just like you were talking about at the beginning, you have gratitude. So in many ways, speaking what you're grateful for, even in the hard issues that you've had, as prayer to also turn that energy into what you have learned. So, again, we can turn spell work into the same thing, which is writing out your gratitudes and then burning them on coals to set them into intent for the next year. There are bay leaves. You can write on the bay leaf your wish, your new desire, your seed for what you want, and burn them. And candle work is always good. I mean, I love candle work. But that, again, is very symbolic of the time, because the lighting of the candle is bringing back of the light into
mm-hmm.
the darkness that has been, i.e. all the things that have happened in the new year, or the old year. So
I'm going to just, when you get into the light, I just have to say that the Jewish festival of Hanukkah kind of comes to mind here too.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an 8-day festival that involves lighting candles. Actually, in the older times, it would have been little olive oil lamps, or a little lamp that had 8 little wells that you would light.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also some of the things that go on at Hanukkah. People always know about, the Festival of Lights and stuff, but a couple of things that go on there does have to do with what we were talking about with Papa Newt. One of the most important customs of Hanukkah is teaching the children to light the Hanukkah lights. It's their first lesson in fire safety, but it's also a transmission between the generations. Usually you'll see photos all over the internet of older people teaching younger children how to light the Hanukkah candle and holding the candle, the Shamus candle with their hand.
Uh-huh.
And so that's part of what it is transmission through the generations. Also at Hanukkah, we give out Hanukkah gelt, which is chocolate money. It's money. It's chocolate with gold foil over it. And I've always thought that is it's really wonderful because we gamble with a little toy called a dreidel. It's a little top. It has four positions, and depending on which side ends up, you spin it, and which side ends up, it tells you what to do with the money that's in the pot or the kitty. And you can lose really fast, and you can win really fast on it. It's strictly a game of chance. And many people first learn about math by playing that. And, of course, you don't want the kids to bet the farm, so they bet chocolate money. And it's just the
which
Hanukkah
is
gelt.
Delicious chocolate.
You give every kid a bag of Hanukkah gelt, and then they play. And, of course, they're eating their candy as they go along, too. So that's kind of one of the things that we do, that we associate with the coming of light and the light times. Another thing that I saw in the chat room, someone mentioned the Mexican relatives who made tamales for New Year's. That was just a local custom. Everyone got together and made tamales. And that another one that was mentioned was the Feast of the Seven Fishes, and that was Italian. And Italians very often do eat fish at this time of year for their celebrations. And there's another one that I learned from some of my friends from foreign climes, Portuguese friends, actually. And they were from the Azores, but they had this custom from Portugal, which was that at New Year's, you have 12 grapes or raisins, if you can't get grapes, and you have to eat them as the 12 bong, bong, bongs happen at midnight. And each of those raisins or grapes is sweet, and it will be for sweetness in the 12 coming months. So that's another one that I know is, Portuguese, and I've also heard some Spanish people do that. Nagashiva mentioned the two fishes of the Chinese. Well, we'll get to that when we have Chinese New Year, but the Chinese definitely, they have a fish to eat and an extra fish, and the extra fish is for extra wealth, and that's a good one, too.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Ollie? What do you all do?
That's a fantastic question. I want to say that when you mentioned red beans and rice was very common. It's a Cajun preparation and particularly popular in the South. But it's made its way up. Like, you can find it in Georgia now. And a lot of the people that I work with and the traditions that are people that I learned my traditions from, red beans and rice is very popular. It's actually very similar to the Indian preparation, the Punjabi North Indian preparation of Rajma Chawal. So very similar. Black-eyed peas is the other thing. You're supposed to, what's interesting about Rajma, or what's interesting about red beans and rice, is that you make it from the leftovers of what you had on Sunday, right? So whatever you had on Sunday, you make on Monday with the red beans and rice. And then black-eyed peas is another thing that is associated with renewal. Black-eyed peas are eaten on the New Year's Day, so the first day of the year, and it's meant to bring in specifically luck and prosperity. So it's not just about any type of renewal. It's a very specific sense of prosperity. I'm going to be lucky in the year to come. And the origins of Black Eyed Peas, if I remember correctly, is actually Jewish in tradition. There's a Talmudic tradition about Black Eyed Peas, about the Babylonian Talmud. And it is, that's where it comes from in the African-American, the Black American, and traditional hoodoo practice of eating Black Eyed Peas on the first day of the new year. Another thing that we did, what was more associated with what you did, you could do this throughout the year, but the families that I know usually did this around Christmas time, and that was burn, Christmas time or New Year's, and that was burn red onion skins, because they brought in luck and fortune and good things. And the idea was that you burnt the red onion skin because it set the tone for the rest of the year. But I do find it utterly fascinating that in the darkest season, like every kind of, every tradition, whether we're talking about hoodoo and spiritual practices, or we're talking about religious and family traditions, right? So there isn't a clear-cut boundary between the two. Around the world, celebrate and the renewal of the light and the preservation of the light in that darkest of seasons, right, in the darkest of days. Everyone around the world lights candles or holds some type of celebration. If it's not Christmas, it's something else. But it's always about celebrating the kind of beginning of the new, of preserving the light in the dark, of having this sense of hope, and knowing that the next year, no matter how bad the current year was, that the next year will start off bright.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of these customs and ideas from around the world, which different people pick up on and kind of spread into their own culture in a way. Anna Gabriella in the chat room said, "I left at Lucky Mojo today some candles." I'm sorry I didn't get down and see you, Anna Gabriella. I didn't know you were there. That she says, "We make in Mexico from the state of Puebla. I hope you have a chance to try one. Very traditional for this time of year. Each state has its own tradition." And what she's talking about here, Ana Gabriela is from Mexico and from the eastern part of Mexico, and a great little folklorist and a person who has taken my root work course and a great friend too. Thank you so much. And I like I said, I'm sorry I didn't get down to the shop to see you today, but I would love to see those candles. And the idea of traditional foods for the holidays, of course, is such an amazing thing. We have not mentioned, and as a Jew here I am the one to mention it, ham hocks and pork in general. And that is a thing that's very common among the Northern Europeans. A pig is a kind of a walking food larder, but usually pigs are slaughtered at fall, and then the meat is salted and preserved for use over the winter. And so the first things that you would eat would be the larger cuts that won't preserve as long, and you end up with the fat back at the end. All you got is fat back. In my family, we didn't do that. But I would go to the houses of my Christian friends, and for the holidays, they would often have ham studded with cloves and pineapple rings. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen this? You've certainly seen a picture of it. The pineapple is a symbol. It's a very exotic plant, of course, tropical plant, and it became a symbol in England of hospitality. And people would carve pineapples of wood as a newel post. A newel post is the post at the bottom of a staircase that you put your hand on, a little knob. Well, newel means an oak acorn. But pineapples became so popular as a symbol of wealth and hospitality that people began to carve pineapples down there on the newel post. And to have a pineapple was always meant an invitation to a party back in the days when they were hard to get. And there are many festival foods of the English that involve pineapples. Pineapple upside down cake is another one. But putting the pineapples on the ham is something that just, you know, and it's made its way all the way down to California Sicilian pizza. We have in California, we have a kind of pizza that they call the Hawaiian, which is ham and pineapple pizza. But the cloves that are stuck into the ham also have a meaning. Cloves are a spice of friendship and love and things like that. And we talked before about pomanders, just recently, and of course the making of pomanders is with oranges and cloves.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned in the chat room that that's the other theme of New Year's holiday and renewal traditions around the world. In addition to light, the act, whether it's putting up Christmas lights or lighting candles, there's also the tradition of sweetness. There's some element of sweetness involved, right? You eat something with honey, you eat something with sugar, you eat some type of sweetness, and that the idea being that it whatever you eat or embalm it or partake in, or at the end of the year or the beginning of the year, will set the tone for the year to come. So there's celebrations that you do with your family as well, partake in cakes, you partake in having a pineapple cake. And all of this is about setting a tone. And I think that's the key to understanding renewal rites, right? Renewal rites isn't just about cleansing or about removing what's bad. It's about shifting patterns. It's about shifting the kind of tone of things and setting a new one for the year to come, one that is sweet and prosperous and happy and blessed.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, the other thing is the cleaning, and we'll probably do another show about this as we get closer to New Year's. But cleansing for renewal is the next step. It's what, you know, Chinese wash and van, and salt and other things like that are used to clean. People will use incense and circumambulation, a word that every magician needs to know how to say it. Circumambulation. That means.
And every anthropologist.
Yeah. Well, I just want to, you know, I bet there's a couple of 17-year-olds who never heard that word before listening to this show in archive. Circumambulation means to go walk around, to amble in a circle. And circumambulation is a ritual tradition that we will find in many customs of the new year, at walking around the home, walking around the property. And if you read the book Trolldom by Johannes Gardbach, you'll also find he has a whole thing about the Arsgang, or the going out into the landscape to see the divination of the new year. We'll talk about that maybe when we get to the New Year's. But there is a lot of work with cleaning that comes on after the bringing in of the luck. Or before the bringing in of the luck. I mean, there's different ways of doing it. Some people will clean, throw out everything old, then bring in the new. Some people will have the big party and then the next day clean up. It's, again, it's cultural. It's different. And I really want to thank Elvira for getting us to think this way. There's going to be a few more shows, I think, this December. We're going to be talking a lot about this kind of work for the new year, because, as Professor Porterfield says, hoodoo is about helping yourself. It's not just about doing things to other people.
Very true.
Okay, you're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with our guest, Miss Elvira, co-host Conjure and Ollie, and myself, Cat Ironwood.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Miss Elvira, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners and answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, I'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to the host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. We are going to the queue to take our first caller, and they are calling from area code 870 in Arkansas. 870, are you there? 870.
Mm-mm. Maybe 870 has gone to another planet. Are you there? One last time. Going once. Going twice. Bye-bye, 870. Who do we get next?
We can take Jeannie at 716.
Jeannie at 716. Perfect.
Jeannie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show. And in a brief description of your situation, just a couple of sentences, if you can describe it, please.
Well, I'm having marital trouble. I've been with my husband for 23 years, and he acts very strange. I don't know if it's an addiction or something. I use Lucky Mojo products. And,
okay. You signed up here on the form. I'm so sorry to cut you off there, hon.
Oh, that's all right. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I do have your description here. So let me go ahead and read that for you.
Sure.
My husband of 23 years has been engaging in very bizarre behavior. He can be nice sometimes for about a month, but he stays mad for a very long time. We didn't even have intimate relations for over 10 years because he was mad about something he couldn't even identify. I don't understand why he hasn't left if he's so unhappy. My whole marriage has been such a mystery, and I really want to save it, but his behavior is making me physically sick and on edge all the time. I used to think that he was having an affair, but now I feel that it may be some sort of an addiction. The kids are grown, and I would like to know if it looks like we will have a future together and if there is any rework that I can do to make him act nicer to me. I turn it back over to you, Ms. Kat.
Oh, my. Well, you have the patience of a saint, dear Jeannie. I don't know. No intimacy for 10 years, that's a tough one.
He was sleeping in the basement, and he wouldn't even tell me what he was mad about. Now he's back up in the bed, and I do use Lucky Mojo products. And after I burn a candle or use the powders, usually we do have sex. I don't know if I have to do spell work every single day for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, that's a difficult situation. So I'm going to put out three cards. Oh, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. What is your sign of the zodiac?
Libra.
Libra. Mm. And what's his sign of the zodiac?
Sagittarius.
Huh. All right.
Oh, interesting.
That's not a bad combination. It shows some people who have a lot of mental connection and a lot of. It's not bad at all, but it's an odd one. Okay, first card I have is the Four of Coins. This is called Hold On to What You've Got. And this shows a little impoverished king. He has no castle. He has no throne. He's sitting on a park bench, almost like he's homeless. He's wearing a fur cloak, which is threadbare. You can see kind of through it where it's torn. He's got one coin under one foot, one coin under another, his arms wrapped around another coin, and a fourth coin on his head. And some people call him the little king who lost everything. And this says to me that there definitely is something wrong with your husband, because with you and his life and with the home, with grown children and all of that, he shouldn't be acting like a homeless vagrant, but mentally he is. Mentally there's something going on here that's not really good. On the other hand, the card is called Hold On to What You've Got. And it is that it does say that if you were to suddenly drop away from him, you might not find anyone else. You just might not.
That's the feeling I've always had, too.
Yeah.
And I'm really not interested in, like, doing a spell for new love. I don't want to start over. I'm almost 50 years old.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. And what I'm seeing here is that what you got is what you've got, but it's your question of whether you want to live alone or be with him. I'm not seeing that there's some other person offering themselves at this time. Now, the next card is a card that says there may be an issue of mental illness. You mentioned addiction, and that may be contributing to it. The card is called the Moon, and it shows a dog and a wolf howling at the moon, but getting nowhere. There is a path that leads to the moon, but they're not on the path. There's a little crawfish in the foreground in a stream, but it cannot reach the moon, even though it's affected by the moon. And this is called the card of lunacy, or the card of
And we just visited Louisiana and had crawfish ravioli last month.
Oh, really?
well, strange.
This is a card that says that what's wrong may not be able to be fixed. because it's kind of systemic or inherent in him. When we get this card, we call it the card of sterile hope. It is not something that is amenable to reason or necessarily to anything but spell work on a temporary basis, because like the moon, the phases of it will come back. It is sometimes a an indicator, and someone in the chat room, Alchemical Artisans Hour, beat me to it, bipolar disorder can be
his
indicated
brother,
by this card. Yeah.
His brother had bipolar. He's never been checked out. He refuses to go to a psychiatrist, but I always feared something like that.
Right. There is something wrong with him. I mean, Nishka, everyone is piping in here in the chat room. You got everybody interested. Supernatural Radio said, uh-oh. Papa Newt and Kanchmanali said, odd behavior for a Sag. Nishka said, I see mental stuff and some depression. And we are all seeing something wrong. That moon card is definitely a...
He was born on a Friday the 13th, December 13th. Is that
bad
sign?
That's a considered to be unlucky birth, yeah. But, you know, we could look at it a lot deeper than that, but we can't on this show. What
right.
I'm seeing here is that he has a problem that's way beyond that, you know, simple spell work will work over and over and over again, but it will not cure him, is what I'm trying to get at.
That's what
he
I do.
May
I
need...
burn the glove me candles and stuff, and they do work for a little while, but then it goes back
yeah.
the other way.
Yeah, right. The third card is a card called Justice or Libra. That is, you are the Libra, right?
Yes.
So that would be your card. This is a card of a woman sitting on a throne, like the symbol for the planet Libra, I mean for the sign Libra, rather. She holds a balance beam scale, and she has a sword. And it's about justice. It says, don't do anything here to damage or destroy, but just always work to restore balance. It does not show that you will be able to do so on more than a temporary basis, but your tendency is to be a helper and a restorer of balance. And insofar as you can do that, you can help him and help the marriage. But if you were to walk away from it, I don't think anyone would blame you. But because what you've been looking at here is something that is kind of inherent or endemic to the situation and is not going to go away. No curse is indicated, and nothing that you have done is indicated. It's more like a mental illness on his part. Now, I'm going to turn this over to Elvira and see what she has to say.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Elvira. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, the cards here that I pulled are the Page of Swords, the King of Wands, and the Ten of Pentacles. And it basically, with the King of Wands, I mean, that is a Sag, a fire sign card, so the fire sign king, which is your husband. And the Page of Swords is that you're always going to be on the alert, that this is going to be a defensive relationship where you are going to always be doing, just as Miss Kat said, the work. The Ten of Pentacles, though family life is what has been part of your life and the circumstances, at this point, your energy is going to stay stasis. And you're going to basically, you know, it'll go back and forth, but that's what you're going to do. If you want this man, that is the bottom line. You will be doing the rituals and the magic. The second level that I have is the Seven of Wands, the Six of Swords, and the Lover's card. Now, obviously, the Lover's card can be the Lovers. It is part of that. It is also the card that is the Gemini card. What I get the feeling here is... that the sense of defeat is undermining you consistently. So no matter what you're doing with the Seven of Wands, no matter what you do, you're kind of like, I'm traveling over the same pathway, the Six of Swords, the same, you know, mindset, the same negativity. To me, I actually feel, and I know this is kind of strange because of what Ms. Kat said, is that you may find someone out there that is not necessarily who you leave your husband for, but someone who you are able to communicate with and find comfort in, because you have the Eight of Cups and the World along with those two, that card I pulled specifically to find out about. And usually the Eight of Cups is about leaving a lesser situation for a better situation, turning your back on something. And the World is about, you know, putting yourself out there. And not necessarily in the way that you think, well, if you were to leave him, well, and then I have to get on the dating services and start. But this is more about you actually may find someone who will augment what you have and be able to give you the sense of that feeling of being cared for and loved, and stay silent in the relationship that you have, working it as best you can to keep that part of it. It's almost like this is an adjunct. I don't normally tell people to go out and find a lover, but this is the kind of a thing that I'm seeing. That's what my cards are kind of providing as an option to fulfill you in an area you're not going to get fulfilled in.
Well,
yeah,
that would
okay.
be an option, I suppose.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, what we have here is a kind of a complex situation. And since you have been using spell work, before I bring Ollie in to talk about the kind of spell work that he would recommend, let me understand, or let us all three understand, what you have been doing. You said burning Love Me candles?
Yes, I've been using the Lucky Mojo Love Spell oils and the powders and the baths. And basically, you know, I put the oil on the candle, and then I, you know, put the powder, pinch of powder, you know, on it and
mm-hmm.
burn them. And they, like I said, they're very effective. I mean, usually, like, within a day after I burn one, we have sex, and, you know, he's nice.
Good.
Or, like, I burned one yesterday, and he took me out to dinner today.
Good.
So I was worried I was going to be late calling for the show.
Well, good. Okay.
But
I
might need something stronger.
here's the problem, and again, before I turn it over to Ollie, stronger may not solve the problem, because if he is
mm-hmm.
inherently mentally ill, you're just always going to be pushing, and then he falls back, pushing, and he falls back until he gets psychiatric help. That is number one. Maybe focused in a slightly different direction is another idea. These things work. There are people who finally do get tired of using something over and over and over again, because after all, it's like a crutch, and what you really want is a stronger leg, you know? And you can keep on changing crutches all the time. But so, Anna Gabriella just said something very wise in the chat room, maybe a spell to convince him to get treatment. And I was going to think about things like clarity as well. I'm going to turn this over to Ollie, and he's going to give his idea of some good spells that you can use, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, there's two routes that I want you to take with this. To be honest with you, I concur with my colleagues, and I'm going to take their direction in this. However, my initial reaction this week, I would say, significantly less positive. And I fully sympathize and understand that he is going through some emotional things that he's unwilling to get treatment for. But it's reaching a point that, frankly, in my opinion, can be somewhat emotionally abusive. There's a longer bit that you write, and you mention how you're on edge a lot. If he's going a month or a whole month without speaking on you, he's punishing you without telling you why. And that can become, it takes a very serious toll. So I am going to give you some recommendations, but before you do any magical work whatsoever, I really, really encourage you to take a moment and really ask yourself, are you willing to stick through this? I know that Ms. Kat and Ms. Elvira mentioned that finding another person at this time may not be in the cards for you. But you need to ask yourself, is it better to be happy and alone or together and miserable? So just something to bear in mind. I do not come from the school of thought that believes that marriages and relationships need constant root work. Root work is a Band-Aid. It's an aid. Mm-hmm. I know women that have sugar jars and honey jars that last lifetimes, and that's beautiful and magical and wonderful. But if you're spending year after year constantly doing intense work just to keep your marriage afloat, you don't have a relationship. You have a holding pattern. And that's a problem. So something to seriously consider. I sympathize. I'm not saying he's an evil, wicked man. But what I am saying is that you do deserve better, and you need to consider that. You don't need to stay in a relationship that is, frankly, turning abusive. So, just something to consider. Now, should you decide to stick around, here are two things that you can do, all right? Excuse me, that can help you. The first one is aimed at clarity. I think Ms. Cat is dead on the money with that. What I want you to do is take a photo frame and put a photo of you and him together, something from a happy memory. Photos for me are about capturing memories. They're not just any old picture. It needs to be something when he's in his good mood, right? So you remember, you go, oh, that was the month we were speaking together and we were sleeping together regularly. You're going to set up this photo frame. In the back, you're going to have, of this photo frame, you're going to put an envelope with rosemary, basil, and bay, and a pinch of clary powder. You're going to write out Psalm 23. You're going to place it into that envelope, place it in the back of the photo frame, anoint with some clarity oil. I would also suggest keeping some peace water near it and sprinkling the peace water around your house. If you're afraid to have that stuff around the house, you can always remove the label. But Lucky Mojo's peace water is exactly what's called for in a situation like this, where the energy is tense and you may sometimes be on eggshells. This helps to smooth things out. One of the effects of peace water that a lot of people don't talk about is that it's not just about bringing peace in the house. It actually makes it so that you can have conversation comfortably. Right? So, and at workplaces, it facilitates conversations that may otherwise be tense. At home, it facilitates conversations that may otherwise be tense. So that's the first thing that I would recommend. The next is, if you decide that you want to work this marriage out, if you're going to stick around, what I want you to do is I want you to print out a photo. But the way I want you to do this, I want you to print out two photos. And you can do this with a little bit of Photoshop or a little bit of technical skill. It's not that difficult to do. On one side of the, on one half of the page, you know, the regular printer page, you're going to put a photo that is from a good memory. From a time that you can look at this and go, that was a good time in our relationship. On the other side, you're going to put a photo where you remember, that was a really bad day. That was a difficult day for us. You're going to put them, okay?
Okay.
You're going to take this page, you're going to rip it in half so that you have two separate photos. The one that is the bad memory, you are going to name after him, but you're going to call it bad so-and-so. So let's say his name is John. You're going to say, this is bad John. We're going to send bad John away. You're going to get two bowls, okay? The bad John, you're going to place into a bowl. You're going to put some Florida water on it. The good John, you're going to put in another bowl, and you're going to pour sugar over it after you have folded rose, balm of Gilead, and vanilla into the photo. So it's covered in sugar. You're going to take the bad John, and you're going to light it on fire. Let the fire burn down. Douse in salt. Take that mixture and dispose at the crossroads and say, I send bad John far, far away. He's never to come back. You're going to take the bowl of sugar and you're going to use that regularly in your cooking, in the coffee that he drinks, if he's a tea drinker, in the tea that he drinks, in the food that you prepare. And every time it gets low, replenish it with more sugar. It's a way of keeping that energy going. But again, only do this if you feel you're ready to stick it out with this man. And that's what I would recommend, a two-part working in this case.
That's a great idea.
That's great. And that's an ongoing spell that you can do. And again, just to say what everybody else in the chat room has said, we do urge you to try to see if you can get him some psychiatric help.
Yes.
It does seem to be a mental illness.
Yes.
All right. And call us back again and see what progress is being made or how things have changed. We'd love to talk with you again. All right. Let's turn this over to Papa Newt.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandreworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 413 in Massachusetts. This is Corrine. Corrine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show. And I see you have not gone to any other readers or root workers, error or otherwise, on this situation. And she writes, my boyfriend on of 10 years left me about 3 months ago during the time my dad died. He says that he wants to focus on his 16-year-old son, but I think he has might have mental issues. I turn it back over to you, Maquette.
Wow, we're having an interesting issue here with marital problems and maybe the cleaning of the thing. So I didn't quite understand that. He left, you've been together 10 years, and then your father died, and then he said it was because of what?
He didn't. He said he wanted to focus on raising his son.
Ah, okay. And you thought,
and
you thought it was what?
I don't know. I mean,
okay.
Really,
that's where we're going. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'm sorry. I just didn't hear. There's some noise on the line, and I really couldn't hear you speaking. All righty. So we're gonna turn this over to Ali for a reading, but again, we just isn't interesting. We're having a theme here of breakdowns in long-time marriages. Now, I just want to say that these themes often happen, and you haven't lived until you've had, you know, three Russian clients in one day, but so it goes. And so this, I'm going to officially call this one the long-time marriage breakdown show. All right, Ali, take it away.
Yeah, okay. It's a very clear theme, and it's quite fitting that it's happening at the end of the year, right, where people need to decide whether to remove the old and start something fresh or to continue something. So it is very fitting. I think I might have missed, perhaps, because there was some sound there. Do you mind letting us know what your sign of the zodiac is?
Yes, my sign is Aquarius, and he is a Scorpio.
Oh, okay. That's a very, very interesting combination.
Yeah.
Scorpios, lovely sign, intense. And Aquarius, best friends of the Taurus is everywhere. So I have pulled three cards here, and I'm going to go over them with you. And let me tell you that there is hope here. Okay, but it comes down to whether you're willing to forgive or not. The reason I say this is no matter what the cards say, leaving you at a time like he did when your father passed is something that is very important for you to think about. Okay, because you may think that you can forgive him now, but it may come back, the sense I get that it may come back with vengeance as resentment later on. Okay, something to bear in mind here. Okay, those moments when we need our partners the most, our lovers, our paramours, our girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, wives, the most, and they're not there, are spiritually significant. They tell us a lot about the relationship. They uncover flaws and faults and mistakes and fractures, and they can also be turning points. This is a very important omen for you. I think that you should ask yourself more than anything else, are you willing to forgive him? But seriously, not just in the haze of reconciliation, because often when we desire reconciliation, all other thoughts fall out to the wayside. We go, no, I'm willing to forgive, I'm willing to do whatever for him to come back. I want you to really think about it, because he will return. You do have a chance of reconciling. But you need to ask if you're willing to forgive, because I don't have cards that indicate whether this will last another 10 years, 20 years or so. That's going to be entirely up to you. But the answer is yes, he will return. The very first card that I have is the Seven of Cups. The Seven of Cups shows us the state of confusion, fog, the messiness that has really come over this situation. This is the man who is distracted. There are things that he needs to be valuing in his life, but he does not recognize them. They are concealed from his sight, and instead he is drawn away. The idea that he needs to choose between his son and you is a false choice. It's a completely false choice. He needs to be looking at what his priorities ultimately are. And you need to be asking yourself what your priorities are and if that involves him. The next card is the King of Swords. That's where he is. Yes, this is a man who is making a very harsh decision. This is a stern king, one that is making an unjust and unwise decision. This is where he's at right now. There is a coldness that has set in his heart, a harshness that has taken in the root in his spirit. And it's part of who he is. It will appear from time to time, and it will manifest in situations like you're currently experiencing. So it will happen again. It's not just a matter of what happened now. Here you are, losing your father, the pain of the father that I see, and he's gone. It may come again. There may be another time. It may be cyclical, where once more he has this sense of irrational harshness, of austerity, of saying, I need to do this no matter the cost. And he'll put you at the wayside, and it doesn't matter if it hurts your feelings or wounds the relationship. He'll do it. And that's what the King of Swords is. It talks about who he is, his character, his person at the root. So while he may be a good guy, there is this other side to him, this King of Swords that is within, and will manifest and come to the surface from time to time. And once more, he will do things because he decides that that's what's important in his life, and it will involve hurting the people around him. So you need to ask if you're willing to put up with this, because it's not just a one-time deal. But the outcome is positive. We have the Knight of Wands, that after a period of time he will return to you. I sense that it may be a few months before he does. You may need the assistance of some work, an ally, a helper, a spiritual guide who can assist. It will bring this particular spell of irrational harshness to a close and bring him back to you warm and loving and pliable. But always bear in mind that even though he can be returned, the King of Swords is still present in his life. So that's what I see. It's a good greeting. It says, yeah, the outcome may very well be positive, but it comes with a bit of warning and asks you to take time to pause and think things through. That's what I have here. I think Miss Elvira will be doing our next reading, and let's see what she has to say, okay?
Okay, I just want to mention, Ali, that I had a dream about you last night.
Oh,
and my father told me to call you.
Oh, well,
wow.
There we go.
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, wow.
But thank you.
A privileged reading for you.
Thank you.
Okay. All righty, well, let's go turn this over to Elvira. I have one more question, just a brief one, before we go to Elvira's thing. Are you really seeking to know to get him back or how to get him back, or are you looking kind of at a post-mortem on a situation to which you've become reconciled?
I would like him to come back, but only if he can be stronger.
Okay, so Ollie said you can get him to come back, but he's going to carry the defect that he had. Let's see what Elvira says.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, it's interesting. Your card came up. It's the first card I pulled, the Star, which is Aquarius. So obviously, as an indicator of the focus, this is your focus, not his. You have the Eight of Cups and the Eight of Pentacles, which, again, I feel in light of what these cards are saying, they are that you turned your attention away from him with the death of your father, which, again, is you had to take care of business, emotional, possibly even financial or otherwise, physical. And when you turned your attention away from him, undivided, he felt that there was a break. He did not, say jealous would be appropriate, but I would probably say that he may not have even known that that was a way of describing it. He didn't have your entire attention and focus. And what I feel here is that the desire to get him back is there's a warning in this, because the Knight of Swords is like, yes, he will come in, but like Ellie, he's not going to stay on a regular basis if you turn your attention away from him. And that could be any number of ways he interprets that. Because you've got Tens of Cups, Tens of Pentacles, which is he is the family. He is the ultimate beginning and end of the process, and you are no longer paying your undivided energy to him.
I really feel that with the Page of Pentacles, it's you need to look at what is good for you. Not necessarily is the relationship going to be good. It doesn't mean that it wasn't good in the past. The Ten of Cups, the Ten of Pentacles, things were there. Maybe there was some ups and downs. But ultimately, I feel that the issue around his son was a, well, if you're going to turn your attention away from me, I will turn my attention away from you. That was a tit-for-tat process and petty. So long-term, I think you're going to need to see truly what is good for you, not necessarily is it going to really be the relationship, because unless you totally devote yourself to him completely.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm going to, look at this from the standpoint of root work, but I want to just pitch in something not from card reading, but just from practical advice. What you've got here shows that you could work on him and get some sort of action, but we're almost having a very similar reading to the lady who I believe to have been in a longer relationship and maybe older than you are. Does that make sense?
She's not older than me. She's exactly my age, I think.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing here is you don't want to come back to us in 5 years and be there. Or do you? I mean, that's up to you. It's up to you. But my feeling here is that we've run into a little pocket dimension here, and we're dealing with the natives of this pocket dimension, as it were, who seem to have this similar issue. So what I'm going to say is root work her I would recommend to you as well. Not to cop out of doing root work, my own root work spell recommendations, but let's revisit what he said. At this point, move your little arrow back on your player and go back and read, listen to the root work that he gave right after Elvira's reading to that other lady. Because
right.
That's a good spell. The what he called a good John and bad John, burning one, and using the other one with sugar. Now, in your case, you can use that sugar to in other ways until you have physical contact. Have you had any physical contact with him since he broke away?
No, not any physical contact.
And have you had, and how long was it when he moved out?
He didn't move out. We weren't actually living together because I was taking care of my dad here. And,
I see. So when was the last time you kissed?
Oh, Lord. It was at my father's funeral.
Okay. And before that, then?
Probably a week before that.
Okay. So he just left right after your dad died, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And how long ago was that?
Well, he had already been gone, Catherine. Sort of. He had already, broken away from me. And then I told him my dad was dying. Didn't make any difference. He still wasn't coming back.
I see.
But,
okay. So I'm still trying to get a time here, and I'm not hearing it. So let's be real, real clear. When was the last time you had sex with him?
A week before my father's funeral.
And when was the last time when he said he was breaking away from you? When was that?
He had said it the whole time. During the funeral I knew that it was something that was going to happen. And
okay.
Then he just...
this is becoming interesting. I'm not getting a date, and I really am asking for a date. So now I want to know, are we talking January, February, March, April, May? Let's be real clear.
Okay, so I would say October 10th.
October, okay.
Yeah.
October 10th was when you kind of, it all came apart.
Right.
Okay.
Fully.
Thank you. That's, well, you see, the reason I asked this thing, and this is for, because a lot of people listen to this show who want to become readers, and I don't mean to use you as a bad example, because I've done it myself, but when a person is asked repeatedly, when was that, how long ago was that, and they're talking in terms of the emotions they felt, or the vision that they saw, the kiss, the hug, the where we were, it was at a funeral, and they don't answer about the date, in my opinion, speaking as a long time, 50 years experience, they're not ready to break up yet. And I know that may sound, I'm using you as an experiment here, but when someone, and I say to someone, and when was this, and when was that, they're still living in the emotion. You are still living in the emotion of it, and you have not yet been able to kind of look on it on the great big circumambulated calendar of the year yet. Now, I have forced the issue, and I apologize for that, but that means that we need to make sure you want to go where you want to be. So if you want to bring him back, right now we're looking at it's been 2 months, okay? 2 months is a long time, but not out of a 10-year relationship. So I would say do the spell work that that Ollie gave to the previous caller. I don't need to add anything to that. If you are having text and phone contact with them, Skype contact, is that going on?
We haven't spoken on the phone for a few weeks now.
Oh, okay. See, it's drifting. And what I'm thinking here is you would have to work very hard. The longer it's gone, the more difficult it's going to be. But I would say that you want to work with photos if that's what you've got. Reach out. Do not wait for contact. Reach out and try to make contact. While you're making contact, burn a candle. A pink one would be good for reconciliation. Oil, maybe return to me oil on it. But I'm not feeling that this is going to necessarily be in your best interest, because what we're seeing is a sign so egregious, so loudly spoken to the universe. I kissed her goodbye at her dad's funeral. I'm sorry. That's where the credits start to roll and the sad music plays. It's over, you know. But I won't tell you that because I'm a kind-hearted person, and I'm going to say to you, work until his birthday, work until your birthday, work until New Year's Eve, whatever it's going to be. I like New Year's Eve, and I'll tell you why. It's a holiday that adults spend with each other. If he's going to spend his New Year's Eve with his 15-year-old kid, that would be unusual. Usually New Year's Eve is spent with consenting adults. Okay, so I would set a time limit. Now, that may be a little close for you. It's not as long as you might like. But and Nagashiva in the chat room points out, yes, it has meaning for us, too. My husband and I were actually married on New Year's Eve, so to us it's a special time. But it's also, just as a root worker, I would say it's a time that indicates that that if he's not going to be there with you and he's going to be there with someone else, that's not a good sign, okay? The New Year's kiss. The New Year's kiss. All right, does anyone else have anything to pitch in on this kind of root work? How about you, Elvira?
You know, it's interesting. The picture frame, spell, the sugar, these are a lot of things that I will say in similar versions I give to my clients. The one thing I would like to suggest is that you write out all of your feelings about the situation, good and bad. Mostly bad, mostly bad. But I want it all out, write it all out, and then I want you to burn it, and I want you to take those ashes and go away from where you live and put them on a tree, put them on a shrub, refertilize. And I want you to do this daily and for at least 1 month. If you're going to do it till the end of the year when you make your choice, if that is your choice to end through that time frame. Because as Ms. Kat said, you're in your emotional state. Your mind is pitching in to help continue it, to keep going.
Yeah.
And if you take the energy off of those thoughts, which you can't get rid of the thoughts because that's a lobotomy, sorry.
Right,
But take the energy,
we're gonna
and
have
I would
to,
suggest that.
Yeah. We're going to have to wind this up. All righty. Well, good luck to you. Call us back if you need more help. And
thank you,
we're going to turn this over to Papa Newt.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30; Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Mondays 5 to 7; The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6; In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7; On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Wednesdays 5 to 7; The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for a freestyle segment with Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Santa Rosa, California. Take it away, Miss Elvira.
And it is mine. We have to add some liveliness here. We've been really inundated with some interesting energy. Okay, so this is one to do for renewal. It is one that would be suggested if you wanted to maybe do a very quick cleansing of your house and an area, that would be possible. But I would suggest that you get elder leaves and some berries, powdered them down. So you basically have elderberry powder, and you put it together, and then I want you to go clockwise around your house and put it across the thresholds of windows and doors and in the corners of each room, because what you're doing with elder is you're bringing in good energy, good luck, powerful. And as you do this, you think of the intention that you want to have come into your home this year, this coming year, that the as the light grows, it will grow too, whether it's peace, money, sex, love, whatever. It has to have your intention in it. Then what I would like you to do is get a green candle, and you can either get Peaceful Home Oil and Peaceful Home Sachet and oil the candle and then roll it in the sachet, or good luck, any of the things that you have according to your intention. Set the candle up. Then what I'd like you to get is four-star anise and put them in the what would be the four directions, so like a cross, on the out just a little outside of the candle, and then get four cloves and do the same thing, but between each one of those four-star anise. So you basically have eight little seeds there or items that are close to the candle, and then you can take a little bit of that elder powder and circle it around. And then with that, light it and bring that light and energy and infuse it with the spark of birth into the to the home and to where you are. It can be even into your business. So it's not just your home. It can, you can do this with your business.
Wow. That's really neat. So this is kind of an all-purpose bringing in money, luck, and love and other forms of success for the
mm-hmm.
home or the business.
That's very nice.
And
I do love the. I just wanted to jump in and say I do love the use of star anise and cloves there. Both of them are, you know, in addition to smelling wonderful, they visually add something really beautiful there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Star anise is called that because it's shaped like a star, a beautiful
mm-hmm.
symbolism there. And then the cloves have these fantastic nail-like look to them, but not nails in a sort of harsh coffin nail that we're thinking. In fact, cloves are often used in love spells when a nail is called for, but you don't want to use a nail. So we prick apples, for example, or stud apples with cloves, and that's a very powerful love spell. Or we include. So I really love the visual symbolism of the way you're using all this.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I would say if you are the kind of person also who likes to make a little bag, at the end of this you'd have four star anises and four cloves, and you could put them in a little bag to carry it. Or you might put that little bag by the front door of the building or something like that. Just, you know, just put it someplace where it could be seen, because those were the power behind that spell. The use of elder is fascinating here, because this is a plant. If you've ever grown an elderberry bush or know anything about them, they have a very strange taste and fragrance, and the elder
mm-hmm.
flowers, the elder berries, and the elder leaves. Some people call it musky, some call it musty. Some people say that it's pleasant, some people say it's unpleasant. I think the reason that they say that is it's not a smell like anything else, so it has nothing else it identifies with. Elder, the name elder actually seems to indicate that it comes from some sort of an almost prehistoric condition. Elder is a fascinating plant. Also, the elder stalks are hollow, and you can pierce them out and make little pop guns, or you can make little whistles with them. And the elder is used in a lot of magical spells from Europe, and it's just a very unusual plant. So when she calls for elder here, she's being very specific. And in the chat room, Nagashiva says elderberry, as in the wine.
The wine.
Yeah. And elderberry wine has the same sort of thing. It is a taste or sensation that many people find out of the ordinary, wouldn't you say?
Right. Yes. Definitely.
It is very unique. It's unique.
Yeah. Ali posted here, it features in a lot of European magical traditions. Can you give another example, Ali, of using elder?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's interesting. Elderberry is often added to water in blessing rituals, from what I remember. So it acts as a very holy kind of blessed plant. In fact, it's associated deeply with the realm of spirit. So elderberries are often used. Elderberry is used in magical work for contacting the other realm, for bringing the blessing. But it's very similar, in my humble opinion. Though please correct me if I'm wrong, I would actually associate it in use, I would say, in Hoodoo, Angelica and Althea. They both are very similar, this kind of holy, blessed, drawing in positive spirits. And elderberry is used for that. In Celtic lore, it's associated, or in, I should say, Northern European, it's associated with kind of the realms of the fae and the fairy. But the most common use that I know is blessing and healing work with elderberry.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, too, because this is a spell of renewal, and elder is actually, I mean, if you think about what the word elder means, it's calling upon ancestral spirits, and also it refers to time. Wouldn't you say that, Elvira? It refers to the past time.
Yeah. Yes. An interesting aside note, if I'm not mistaken, in the movie and play, Arsenic and Old Lace, isn't it that they use elderberry wine to... that they put the old ladies put in to poison the old men who are lonely, which I'm sorry is not the right thing to say at this moment, but my theatrics came in. There you go. You called on it earlier.
Well, it's a very interesting holy, sacred plant, which in our modern times, it's an ungainly, sprawling bush, and in our modern times, very few people will plant elder in their home yard. It's just kind of one of those things that witches grow. That's what it's known for. All righty. Well, thank you, Elvira, a well-known witch yourself, and for bringing an elderberry spell to us. Unusual, and a lovely spell with the cloves and star anise, green candles for the renewal. All right, well, I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt. He's going to give us our little final announcements, and we'll all come back and say goodbye after he's done. How about it, Papa Newt?
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjure Man Ali, and thank you, Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Santa Rosa, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, who will be Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma, bringing us the topic of congealing. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.theluckymojo.com and Conjure Man Ali at conjuremanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Saint Edward, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody, and goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. PapaNewt.com, you're a great stalwart and a lovely announcer. Thank you, Elvira, for being our guest again.
You're very welcome, and thank you very much for asking me and having this great time together before yet another lighted celebration of Christmas coming up.
Yeah, now get on your little witch broom and fly to Petaluma.
Yes, now I can fly to Petaluma safely.
Yeah.
All righty.
Take care.
Yeah, you too. And thank you, Countryman Ollie.
It's always a pleasure, Miss Kat. I love being on here with you.
Okay, well, bringing your erudition from Stanford University all the way to our little show. All right, folks. Remember, the Hoodoo Heritage Festival will be May 14th and 15th, 2016. And that's it for us. Good night.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.